I really want us to get into the Word. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is breaking and destroying the demon of poverty. I hope that's okay. Like I said, if the person next to you doesn't flinch, doesn't respond, just check that they are not holding your breakthrough back. Amen. The first part of this is that you have to change your mentality. Poverty is as much as a lack of creativity and productivity as what it is a train of thought. Many people are poor today because they listen to what the Reserve Bank says. Many people are in poverty today because they listen to what the presidents of the world say. Many people are in poverty today because of what they were taught in school. And the sad thing is, if you look at schooling and the learning systems of today, you are taught to hate. You see, I'm not going to say hate money. I'm going to say you're taught to hate people with money. And that is already a big problem. Because you cannot have what you cannot embrace. If you cannot embrace the financial anointing. You see, there's a healing anointing. There's an anointing for salvation. There's an anointing for miracles. But there's also an anointing for money. And you cannot receive it. You can, I'm joking. You encounter. Why am I saying this? Because you will take Psalms, you'll take Proverbs, you'll quote all the wisdom scriptures under the sun. You'll give your heart to God 50 million times. But when it comes to prosperity grammar, the Word of God, stop sign. You know, a person sent me an article, and they said to me, and it was not an ill intent or anything, they said to me, look, this guy makes the body of Christ look so bad and makes prophets look so bad. So I'm like, no, the government wasting 40 million on a party is exactly the same thing. So why are we as the church singled out because of what one minister did and their mistake? Because now we like throwing the baby out of the bathwater and we're wrapping everyone in the same blanket. So now because other ministers are poor, this ministry must be poor. No. If poverty is in your vicinity, there is something wrong. There's a lack of word. There's a lack of revelation. There's a lack of care when it comes to your spiritual life. There's a lack of care when it comes to the wealth of your soul and your body. See, the Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily shaken. It is not easily broken, which is prayer, fast, and giving. Many people pray and fast, but they do not give. You say, but no, but Pastor Chris, I gave. And the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will you put into my bosom? Yes, but did you read the five verses before that? Which says, judge and judge not. How many of us are judging people and we are using that as a sowing scripture? That is not a sowing scripture. It is speaking of the one dimensions of the Beatitudes that people should have in their life. Christians in the body of Christ have become so one-dimensional. If they see something they don't understand, they persecute it. You know, I'm just letting you know because I care about you. We don't know you. On a good day, not even my mom cares. You see, people who love one another care. We do. Caring doesn't mean pointing out someone's faults and scolding them. Where's the grace of God? Why can't we say, listen, I don't quite understand what you preach there. I see the scripture in the Bible. No. You say, that's not in the Bible. But I just read to you what the Bible said. I'm going to show you the scripture that says bank account. And it's not the one that says heaven account. It says bank account. But we don't read this. See, that is why Jesus' parables were so amazing. You know, because I've been asking God, God, what is my message? Because I'm too sarcastic and I'm too straightforward. And God said, what do you like? I said, I like things that are funny. And I enjoy prophetic revelation a lot. And I've started looking at that because too many people are sad and upset. And the problem with that is you need the joy of the Lord. You need it. So put a smile on your face. Say, I'm ready to receive. You know, maybe... No, let me not go there. But you're going to see that if you cannot align your mind with God, poverty will be your permanent place of habitation. You might as well make it your street address. But that is a problem because no Christian stays on the corner of poverty. You stay on the corner of the house of God, where the last time I checked, there is a window of heaven. And His word says that I will open you and you and you as a window of heaven. And I will pour you out. I will pour you out. Such a blessing that there's not enough room to receive it. So the first thing I'm going to deal with is the words that we say. We are not blessed because we say we are not blessed. When I ask you, how are you doing? Oh, you know, it's tough. Like what? The stale bread was tough? It was tough to wake up? Or, let me not say that one. What is tough? Where's the life in your mouth that you had the day you were born again? When I got saved, I'm like, I'm going straight to that demon-possessed family of mine, and they're going to hear this word. Then I got there, and I had no word. So he was praying for this lady who was actually the pastor's son's wife, and a demon came out of her in the church. And she hovered off the ground like that, and I was like, I want to do that. Give my life to Jesus. And I got saved. Now people are like, yeah, no, you know, this thing in the church. No, listen to this. The pastor's son, who was due to take over his wife, manifested and levitated off the ground. White church. Can I say that? Yeah. It's maybe a problem for you white people, but not for me because I'm not white. But what happened? You see, what we do is not in talk. It's in a demonstration of power. Bring your God, I bring my God. Let's see if money appears or not. You see, I know my God will not fail. I want to ask you, why in our vocabulary do we have a left and a right when the road is called straight? And we allow an exit point for our breakthrough. We allow it. How do we allow it? We leave this place and all of a sudden we are speaking the way we spoke before we got here. Our language changes. So either the company we keep is wrong, or we did not change when we said that we changed. That is why when we do an altar call, we don't just ask people to speak and say it out of their hearts. I want you to acknowledge. I need you to make an intelligent decision that I am giving my life to God. Because the Holy Spirit is super intelligent. You as a believer filled with the Holy Spirit is supernatural. You do not come from this world. You come from another world. And the last time I checked, in that world is the God that owns all the silver and gold. Say poverty. Say this morning. Say this morning. Poverty. poverty, you will not know my destination. Say poverty, this morning you're being removed from my life. In Jesus' name. Again, poverty is not a bank account status. It is a state of depression. It is a feeling of not feeling good enough. It is a feeling of not being able to achieve what God has called you to. It is deception. Because what does God say about you? What has God promised outside of what He has said about you? He has said that every good thing that I will start in you, I will surely finish. So this morning you need to make your mind up. This morning you need to make your mind up that the enemy is finished and I will finish strong. The enemy has penetrated believers like you cannot believe. And his only mandate was for you to think that you are not blessed. There are people you are blessed, but you're like, I'm not blessed. But why? No, I didn't get the pair of shoes that I want. Soulish believer. You see, you get poor people, you get rich people, and then you get wealthy people. When we get to rich people still want to tell you about all their possessions. A wealthy person can tell you what they can do for other people. A wealthy person will come and speak to you and say, how can we change the city? A wealthy person will say to you, does the church have the means and the capacity to go out and preach the gospel and get those people saved? A wealthy person will say to you, you know that the education system has failed. Believers do not have a financial acumen. How can we equip them? How can we give them the wisdom and principles of God? So we give you Encounter Kings. People think Encounter Kings is just to make money. If I tell you how much money we spent on that, you will not be happy. I was like not happy, and then I was like, yes, we're doing this for the benefit of the people. Because I almost ate my own words. The word we preach is the full gospel. It was God who said His desire is for you to prosper and be in good health. Many of you are not in good health because you're not prospering in every single area of your life. How is your home life? How is life with your children, with your family? How is life? How is your heart towards your extended family who is not coming to church? Do you scold them and cut them off fully? Or do you pray and intercede for them that God will send someone to deliver them? The biggest deception I had was when Prophet ministered to me and said, because of me and my household will be saved. I said, I have to get my family saved now. Did not work. Jesus could do no great miracle even in his hometown. So I tried for many years. All I did was cause and breed offense in my family. Because I was hard and I was harsh. Then I started praying, God, send someone to minister to them. Send someone in their time of trouble to bring them the good news. And He brought them the good news. The same has happened with Prophet's mom. Exactly the same. The thing is, when it even comes to this thing of prosperity, when we see people struggling, we very quickly put ourselves in a position of God. You know, I felt led to help this someone. I'm just blessing them. I'm paying their rent. I'm paying their food. Oh, okay, what are they doing? Oh, no, they sit at home. Okay, so what about the process of God that God has those people in, and we are now interfering? Please, I'm not talking about looking after people who don't have. I'm talking about us entertaining the demon of poverty. The demon of poverty will come to you that has money and drain you of every single cent. You will feel compelled to be that person's redeemer. They will come to you the next time and they will say, if I did not have you, I would have not made it. Then you'll be like, oh no, don't worry, it's okay. Where's God? He gave you the power and the ability to get wealth so that you could answer His covenant, not keep people alive. too many of us are looking after those people and not after the kingdom. And that is why we are struggling. God spoke to me very clearly about that. Why am I saying this? Pastor Chris, this is a bit too much. No, you can ask my wife. You see me at a robot. I'm like rap videos. I see this one struggling. No. No, God said I must. God was not speaking to me. I just like giving. But what was I doing? I was wasting money. Because that same person today that I gave to 7 years ago is still standing at the same robot. How did I test that? I told him I can get you a job there at Checkers. You can do 1, 2, 3. 3 days later, he was back at that robot. He said, no, I don't like working. This is easier. Do you know what they do? They come there to that robot in their nice clothes, better likes than I even own. He puts it in a packet and he hides it under the dustbin. He takes out from under the dustbin his old torn clothes and he puts them on and he goes and he stands at the robot. You see, these are not the hands of a believer. These are the hands of a believer. This hand can give. This hand can impart. But this hand can work. When we talk prosperity, I'm looking for someone that is productive. Because in the environment and ecosystem of prosperity is productivity and excellence. A prospering believer is someone that has put their hand to the plow and they have not looked back. It's like the truck drivers that cause so many accidents. What happened? No, I wasn't looking. Or am I like, you just drove over a whole family because you were not looking. So now I'm putting my hand to the plow. I am a believer. You're not looking. You're not looking, you're not watching, you're not working, you're not spending time in the Word, looking after your spiritual life, your soulish life, your body, causes your whole family to be wrecked. Generational curse of poverty. That is why I decided that I will be the first in our generation to work. The resignation rate in our family is phenomenal. We can give them badges. It's insane. We experienced the Great Recession. Then when we think the economy is correcting, we experience what? The Great Resignation. I got no problem with people resigning. Great. But have another opportunity in mind. I understand some people have to resign because things are so bad. I'm not speaking about that. But resigning, going, sitting home, doing nothing for 3 years is an abomination to God. You are more than cursed according to Scripture. Are you with me? And don't worry, we're going to get to the encouraging part now. Let's go to Luke 19, verse 12. New King James Version. Let's do this. Say, let's do this. Say, my money is coming. So I'm going to tell this scripture in today's terms. Is that okay with you guys? So therefore, he said to a certain nobleman, let's call that nobleman Prophet Leon. He went to the far country of Krugersdorp to receive for himself a kingdom and to return to centurion. It's a true story. Next verse. So he called 10 of his servants. So let's say there's Pastor Chris, Pastor Martin, Pastor Marie. There's Misha. There's Uncle Dean. There's Reynard. There's a few of them. And he delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. Oh, what? The Bible says business. Now, the church can't talk about business and finances. Okay. Next verse. So now, but his citizens hated him. Who are the citizens? The people who are not the servants. And sent a delegation after him, saying, why did you not have coffee and tea with us before you came here? You will not plant a church in Krugersdorp. I mean, it said, we will not have this man reign over us. That reign means to be king, but it also means to bring the Messiah. So what are they saying? We will not have this man bring this Jesus here in Krugersdorp. Next verse. And so it was when he returned. See, he doesn't even answer them. He just kept going back to his house to go and rest. Why? Because he left his servants there. And so when it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, say receive the kingdom. Say this morning, I receive the kingdom. You see, when you give, when you receive the kingdom, it is not just receiving Christ. You are given territory. In some areas, you will become a principality where there was a principality. He then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading, business. Can the church do business? Oh, yes. Next verse. Is this okay for you guys?
Yes.
Then came the first, Pastor Chris, saying, Master, your miner has earned 10 miners. Full stop. Next verse. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, having authority over 10 cities. Why am I saying this? This is my testimony. When I had a 2,500 rand salary and I got saved, all I wanted to do was give. That every time I got an opportunity and I got commission, I would give and I would see how can I make this money grow, that I can put more into the kingdom. I was kingdom minded. I knew automatically because of a DNA in a makeup that came from a prophet that I must be fruitful and multiply. When you are fruitful and you multiply, then can you have dominion? Then can you have territories? Then can you have cities and nations? Next verse. And then the second came. Master, your miner has earned 5 miners. Two very fruitful servants. Next verse. Likewise, he said to him, you also over 5 cities. Then another came. So who can we make this person? Misha. Okay. Then Misha came saying, Master, here is your miner, which I have kept and put away in a handkerchief. Aye. For I feared you because you are an austere man. Now, an austere man is a man that is rigid and firm. Known in the business world as what? A shrewd businessman. A rigid, an austere man is not an evil man. It is a man who knows how to do business. That when it comes time to do business, we do business. That is why when we talk about the business of the kingdom, which is souls, you will think we are a bit offensive. A business person with territory, with regions, will offend you. So much so that you will not want them near you. Because you'll think they're coming to take over. No. When a business person in that dimension comes, they have already taken over. They already have the title deed. You must choose whether you're going to live there or leave. So he says, you collect what you did not deposit. Imagine, you business people, you ministers, you collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. His servant telling him, you reap what you don't sow. I know this stuff. Let's go to John 4, verse 38. This is a poverty mentality. It hates everything about the blessing of God. So it says there, wait, I think let's go to NIV. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. How dare that man say that you can reap what you have not sown? New Testament. The other version says you will reap what you have not labored. It is when the blessing and hand of God is upon you that you'll walk into a place and it will just be given to you. This church started with an e-group, and one day, suddenly, a church was here. Suddenly, a move of God was here. Suddenly, the atmosphere was loaded with revival. Suddenly, there was a prophetic voice in Krugersdorp again. Suddenly, the kingdom of God was being manifest by a people that is in Encounter Church. It says, others have done the hard work. Say other people. Say other people will work hard, and I will reap where I have not worked. Let's go back to the other verse. Back to the other verse. It's Luke 19, verse 21. She says, I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. It is a hard thing to deal with a child of God that is prospering. You will think they are greedy. You will think they're offensive, but all that you see is a believer that is carrying the goodness of God with them. Well, you know, this guy's got it all together. He just has everything. Yes, I have the presence of God. That is everything. It is more than enough. It is my sufficiency. It is my sustenance. But it's not for me. It's for everyone. So he says, you take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. Who is this? This is the believer that has a problem with the blessing of God. You don't have a problem with sowing and reaping. You don't have a problem with sowing and just staying the same. You have a problem with reaping where you have not sown, which means you have a problem with the blessing of God, which is for every single believer. Let's go. Next verse. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words. So Jesus is saying, if this is you, I will judge you by those words. So your mindset and the words that you speak in line with Scripture can kill you. It says, you wicked servant who fights my blessing. That is what I meant where people want to be God in other people's lives. There's nothing wrong with toiling and working hard, but there is a lot wrong with not working at all. Because the Bible still says he has given you the power and the ability to get wealth, which means you get to work. Are you with me, church? So then he says, you knew, did you, that I'm a hard man? You knew when I employed you. You knew when I came into the kingdom of God that this thing will be hard. If you will suffer for just a little while, taking out what I did not put in, which means this servant had access to everything that that man did. He saw, he had the opportunity to be close and see every single thing that he did. So instead of learning from what he did, he judged him. He cursed the ground that he walked on. Instead of he would be there just a little while, if he would do what he did, he would have multiplied and be given cities as well. And reaping what I did not sow. Next verse. Why then? No, you need to go to New King James Version.
Thank you.
Why then did you not put my money in my Standard Bank account? Why then did you not put my money in the Encounter Church F&B account? That at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. What is this? Saving. You see, a believer's mindset needs to change from that I don't have enough money to that I have more than enough. When I say I have more than enough, it is amazing. All of a sudden, we'll have more than enough. I can prove it to you. When I say I can't tithe, no, you are saying I won't tithe. When you're saying I can't save, no, you're saying I won't save. What am I saying? Take responsibility for your situation. When you take responsibility for what is going on in your life, you can now move to the next step, which is make a plan. Strategy, strategeo. When you have the wisdom of God, you have plans. You can work out a plan to attack debt even. Now God is saying, could you not at least just put in a bank account where there's interest so I can at least get some kind of return? He would have still given him a city, but he decided to do what? Nothing. Because I was too scared of losing what you gave me. God's commandment is to be fruitful and multiply, not park the bus. Are you with me? Next verse. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him. So this is not Robin Hood where we take from the rich to give to the poor. He took from that man who only had the one mina and he gave it to him who has 10 minas. Why? Because he knew that that man will take that one mina and make another 10. So he moved from a dimension of going from 1 to 10, from now to 10 to 20. That is where we get the law of increase from. Let's keep going. But they said to him, Master, he already has 10 minas. Pastor Chris, how can God bless that guy with a whole development? He already has a development. Yes, but his previous development is fully rented out. You are still thinking of making a development for the last 10 years. So what happens? Another piece of land is given. All of a sudden, people are coming to build it for them at cost. That is the law of the kingdom. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given. So if you are saying that God has given me something that I can be fruitful, this is your scripture. But if you are sitting and you are saying, I have nothing, just know that right where you are, that you are frustrating the grace of God. And it needs to break from your mindset. It needs to be ripped out of your heart. And it needs to be taken out of your dialect and your speech. And for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. How do you take away from someone who does not have? This is speaking of the lady who encountered Elijah. He came and he said, what do you have in your house? Oh, I have nothing. Oh, but this little bit of oil. How many of us say we have nothing, but we actually have something? Frustrating the grace of God. Because God has given us laws, the keys to the kingdom, that cause prosperity to take place in an instant. He will even send someone to bring you a prophetic instruction of do 1, 2, 3. Because you have this, you say, no, I don't have anything. That lady had the anointing oil in her house. She was the widow of a prophet. And she said, I have nothing. What happened? She was deceived by her circumstances. So much so that she even changed his name from servant of God to man of God. Next verse. And then, bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over Krugersdorp and slay them before me. Who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. It is amazing.
You can rebel against a prosperous person who would be used to cause you to prosper. But if you attack prosperity, the sentence is death. And it will be done publicly. How many times have we seen people condemn the word of God? I'm not going to say the message of prosperity. The word of God. And you will see them a month later, nothing, embarrassed, slain, taken out, nowhere to be seen again. It's because you have not attacked the man of God. You have attacked his word. And he exalts his word above his name. Which means the word must come to pass. Are you with me, church? How many of you are getting something out of this? Now I want to show you something. If we can just go to John 6 verse 4. And then we're going to close. And I want you to understand this. And I'm going to repeat it, because poverty, being poor, is not a bank account status. The goodness of God, the blessing of God, makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. When something adds no sorrow, it means it lifts a load. Now I want to ask you, what place in your life do you need God to lift a load? What area? Any area. It can be in your family. It can be in your health. It can be in your marriage. It can be in your business, your relationship. Perhaps there are strongholds in your mind when it comes to this thing of receiving that you need your mind shift changed. He can lift that load. And then, of course, any financial situation, he can change it if you can give it to him. But I want us to go to John 6, verse 4. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, and he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So Jesus was already looking to feed someone. What was he doing? He was looking to pay. He was looking to give. It was his language. The language of a believer is, where can I give? Where can I pay it forward? Where can I be a blessing? They weren't coming there screaming, "Feed us, Jesus, feed us." He knew what was needed. But there's a parable in itself about this. Let's keep going. Oh, wait, go back. So he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" He was being sarcastic. It was like when they came to him and asked him, "How do we pray?" And he gave them the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Why would you need the Lord's Prayer if Jesus is right there? The problem was they heard something from another man of God. And then they came to question what they had already received. Some people leave here knowing that the goodness and blessing of God is for them. Then someone else out there tells them something else. And then they question it. So now he's testing his disciple. Next verse. But he said to test, so he said this to test him, for he himself knew what to do. Of course Jesus knew what to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. So what is he doing? He's stating the obvious. He's like every other person who we ask, do 1, 2, 3. Then they go, "We can't do it. We can't make this happen." Anti-prosperity is, I can't. I don't have, but you're actually saying, "I won't." If you believe you've been given power, the ability, if you believe you have the anointing, if you believe the Holy Spirit, your only mandate is to go and do. It is a level of faith that just does, knowing that it will happen. We started this work without any money in our bank account. None. Zip. Zero. And in less than a year, we were already in our second campus and the church was full, more than 500 people. everything that we paid and planned had been paid off within a year. It is the blessing of God. But we stepped out knowing you have called us to do this. You have called us to preach this. And this is what we need to do. And God took care of the rest. It is the same in your life. The Bible says that you will partake and receive more than what we get. But it speaks of an automatic participation with the people that is preaching the word. Next verse. So one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, so now the other disciples come. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Look at the language. It's always small. It's always small. 2 fish. It is amazing. Gee, where did Jesus find these disciples? On fishing boats. And then they come with this nonsense that they only have 2 fish. Go get your boats and go fishing. You see, Jesus only asked them in context about the bread, because he is the bread of life. Why, when you're a fisherman, can you not take your talent and go and reproduce and add it to the kingdom? This is why business people are limited, because they don't take of their skill and their resources and apply it to the kingdom. So they are blessed, but they are not prospering. It's still a rich person mentality. That peace comes when I become a partner in heaven. And that is how Abraham became the possessor of heaven and earth. And look what he was given. So they say, obviously pointing to the situation, there are so many of them. Next verse. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. So understand, this was just people coming to receive and representing families. They were about to be fed, but they were taking on behalf of their families. So there's much more people. Next verse. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. Imagine. We are just here to give you the word. You are supposed to take the package and distribute it. Do you understand the power in the enemy deceiving you that you're not blessed? You automatically become ineffective and you can't be a blessing to someone else. So he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they, how much does God want you to have? As much as I want. The Bible says that the whosoever, who's the whosoever? It is you. No, it's just me. Who is the whosoever? Who is the whosoever? Who is the whosoever? Who is the whosoever will have whatever they say? There's life and death in the power of your tongue. When you say, I do not have, or I can't, and I won't, you will not have it. But it is amazing. Under instruction, they had as much as they wanted. But Jesus' disciples, he had a doctor. He had his own taxman / accountant. He had people who were fishermen. Yet when they saw the multitude coming, their faith was so shipwrecked that they had to ask Jesus what to do. The problem was they were technically saying to him, there's not even anything you can do. We don't know what we're going to do. And they had Jesus Christ, the living God in the flesh, right in front of them. He told them, I will make you fishers of men. The men are coming. They didn't know what to do. Go fishing. I don't know if you're getting this. You see, Jesus didn't say, I hope these people that are coming, that they brought their nice picnic baskets and a nice blanket for the grass. No, he said, come sit. You're about to be fed by the bread of life. The problem here was his disciples that were around him 24/7 had no faith for provision. They had faith for miracles. They had faith for the word to do its work, but they had no faith for provision. in order to break the demon of poverty, which has real estate in your mind, your faith must rise up. Where the enemy has raised up a standard, you raise up a standard in faith. But you cannot raise up a standard in faith if you have no substance in the word. The Bible says in the book of Malachi, if you will just try me now in this, if you will just test me now in this, that I will open up the windows of heaven for you, that I'll pour out such a blessing that there's not enough room to receive it. That is the truth that is in the word. But our mentality here, because of how we have been raised up, and I'm not saying it's everyone, but it's mostly. That's why I didn't go to university. I knew they would cripple me. And we didn't have money to go study, so. But the word is what's trained me. A prophet with the word of God in his mouth has trained me. A relationship with God and spending time in his word, praying, fasting, giving, has trained me. Poverty, it's not a question of when you're coming down, must come down. Poverty in Krugersdorp, online, wherever you are, it will come down. It's nothing personal. It is just the truth which is hidden in the word of God. Let's go back to that scripture. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them. Yes, let's go, next verse. So when they were filled, say when they were filled. Because they could have whatever they wanted, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, gather up the fragments that remain so that there's nothing left. Do you see why God says, I will pour out a blessing that there's not enough room to receive it? It's because there'll always be some left over for you to take you further. Here in this scripture, they had given what? Everything they had. They didn't give a tenth. They didn't give a tenth in an offering. They gave everything that they had. And when they were done, there was still some left over. You see, the woman with the issue of blood, when she pressed in and Jesus referred to her as a dog, what was her response? She said, even the crumbs that are left over are good enough for me. What will seem like crumbs to other people in a worldly dimension will be the prosperity of God in your life. Do not be dismayed or discouraged at small beginnings, because I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, he will increase you little by little. And first you'll experience a trickle, then you'll experience a small river, which will then enter into a dam. But there at that dam is a dam wall, and there is an accumulation that is taking place, because you have labored, you have prayed, you have fasted, and you have given much. And it is now time for me to open up the sluice gates of heaven for my people. There will be an abundance like you have seen. And when prophets gave the word saying that in September you will see prosperity like you've never before, you need to understand that you have to get into the position. How do I receive something that there's not enough room to receive it? I get some friends. I said friends, not thieves. There is a harvest and a blessing coming, that there'll be more than enough for everyone. You see, when they had all things in common, not one of them lacked a single thing. The problem is, if I have to take all of you and I tell you, come give all your money and put it here, and I'm going to distribute it equally to every single one of you. Let's say every person gets 400,000 rand. It's great, right? Yeah. The sad part of that is about 98% of you, because of training and equipping, will squander that money in less than a week. But it's not because of you. It's not because you are evil. It is because of the demon of poverty. The demon of poverty will cause you to lose all sense of wisdom, which as a believer is common sense. It is the basics of stewardship. And that is what hinders us today in the most. And the thing is, if we had to make that call, very little people would come. You could literally solve the world's problems by equal distribution of wealth. But where I do agree is you would kill about 90% of the world's population, because that money will kill them. When the demon of poverty is operating, money is your god. It's the god of just getting by. It will kill you and suffocate you just enough, and then when that last gasp is needed, it will let you breathe again. That is the picture that they paint of hell. That you're tortured to the point of near death. In the one place, they incinerate you slowly, that all your flesh melts off. Or maybe there's the worms that eat all your flesh. And as that worm gets to the last part of your flesh, your skin is reformed and it starts again. Never-ending torture. The demon of poverty brings never-ending torture. You'll get paid on the 25th, on the 26th. Every doctor in existence that you saw for the last 5 years, all of a sudden, sends you a bill. And you'll be so blessed with interest that they've added interest for the whole term of what you haven't paid that bill. The demon of poverty. Then you get home. The fridge breaks. They come collect the fridge. Next thing, the washing machine breaks. Next thing, the lady that helps you in your house can't come to work because she's ill. And so on and so forth. The demon of poverty. If we are to be participators in the end time wealth transfer, we need the principles of God. The principles of God which work will not work if my mentality is not shaped by the word, if my heart is not for God in the area of provision and prosperity, that He uses men and women of God to share this message. We are to be partakers of His glory. His glory is just not a presence. It's the ecosystem of heaven. If I pray that the kingdom of heaven comes down, I'm not just praying for angels to come and things to be delivered. I want the full manifestation of God to come here.